Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. Listen Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on KKOA 107.7 FM or at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Or to the podcast at lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Now here's your host and producer, Sherry Brackett.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We are back in our final discussion about wastewater. For the last 2 weeks, we've gotten a briefing from Bill Kucharski, who's head of the Hawaii County Department of Environmental Management. That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, we talked with Rick Bennett, who's on the county's Environmental Management Commission, which advises the Department of Environmental Management. Rick has made a years-long study of water, and he was not speaking on behalf of the board, but on behalf of himself. We also had Steve Holmes, who used to handle wastewater for City and County of Honolulu, and today we conclude the discussion. The last thing we talked about was how when you flush things down the toilet or pour them down the drain, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. You may hear the previous episodes as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Now we pick up our conversation where we left it off last week. It's interesting that you talk about community scale wastewater treatment plants. I know that there was one subdivision on the Kona side of the island, the Kilohana subdivision. Initially, the developer was told that people would be hooking up to the county sewer, and he put in what's called a gang cesspool that right. covered many, many homes. And recently, each individual homeowner had to put in their own cesspool because of regulations that say gang cesspools are no longer allowed. I'm just puzzling, why was this concept of a community reclamation idea not put forward? Is it not really ready for prime time yet, or is it just nobody thought about it?
It's just not a public policy conversation we have.
Wow.
It's a hole in the ground. You know, in California, they wanted to pump the water into the rivers that drain into the bay and into the ocean, and they thought that was okay.
Yeah, back in the old days. So where do we go now? You've intrigued me about this thing about the individual cesspools, because 50,000 homes on this island, homes or businesses, have cesspools that are going to be disallowed by 2050. Is there something people can be doing now? Is this a technology that can happen individually, or do we have to wait for community wastewater treatment? What's your thinking about the way to go forward right now?
The first thing people can do today is to use water in their home as if it cost $100 a gallon. Brushing your teeth with the faucet running, rinsing dishes with the faucet running, just adds volume. You say, well, it's just water. But when you mix it with the black water, it's all black water. And that large volume of black water then has what we call a hydrologic head. You put water up in a dam, that's a hydrologic head. And when you put a lot of water above the groundwater in your wastewater system, it wants to go there with force. And so the extent to which we can keep fresh water out of the black water will reduce the rate of movement and give the ground a little more time to do some filtering. Otherwise, it's under fairly high pressure. About 50 to 75% of a domestic home's wastewater flow is pretty high quality gray water. And when we commingle the gray water with the toilet water, it's all black water.
So basically, when you're talking about gray water, you're talking about when I wash the dishes or my dishwasher is running or my washing machine, the water that flows out of that, which may have some soap and things like that in it.
Yeah. Kitchen sink water can be problematic, especially if you use a garbage disposal. It puts a lot of organic biological material that will degrade and smell like the dickens. But the showers, the washing machine water, can be used directly. And a lot of people are doing that. They go down to the local hardware store, they buy some pipes, they connect the washing machine discharge to this pipe, and they run it out on some trees and shrubs. Now, under the proposed regulations from the Department of Health, they're treating gray water like it's black water.
Really? Why? Because that's a real common thing in California. I know
in the Marin County drought,
that's what we did.
In one word, it's ludicrous. People are not going to die if they come in contact with gray water. In fact, I argue that gray water should be on the surface where the soil microbes can work on it and where the sun can shine on it.
And this is State Department of Health that considers it the same as black water?
Yes.
Wow.
You're going to have fairly elaborate plumbing, and then all of the gray water irrigation has to be subsurface, which means you've got to buy special perforated pipe and bury it.
Instead of using it for like water sprinklers or...
Yes. Sprinklers are a little problematic, but there's gated pipe that you can put on the surface. And then as the washing machine is running and discharging, and on a weekend, that can be several hundred gallons for a family of four doing multiple loads of laundry. It just oozes out of the pipe, and then our ground here is so porous. Now, in places on Oahu where they have a lot of red dirt clay and the water infiltration rates are low, you don't want standing water. But standing water in Kona? Hardly.
That's why people have a hard time finding if they have a water leak, because in some places that have more compact soil, a water leak will result in water coming up. But in Kona, you can have water leaking and just goes down. You know, Rick Bennett, what you are pointing out is something that we talked a little bit about when we spoke with Keith Okamoto about trying to conserve water to avoid using fresh water out of the wells. But you have taken it to a whole other level. It's not just keeping us from using fresh water, whether our water wells are impaired or not. It's keeping the water out of the wastewater system or the cesspool or whatever. And I think that's a whole different dimension that you are opening my eyes to, certainly, and presumably our listeners as well.
Every gallon of reclaimed water is a gallon of fresh water you don't have to buy and a gallon of fresh water you're not using.
Right. And just as you point out, we're putting fresh water right now into your sewer system or your cesspool. And since most of us have cesspools, 50,000 on this island, that's amazing. Now, Steve, I know you wanted to add something when I was asking Rick about why can't we just hook up some of those subdivisions to sewer systems that exist.
Yeah, I was pointing out that we're already doing that in Kona using what's called a sewer improvement district. And we were able to tap into U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Utility Service funding. So they got $4 million in grant funds for that. And that was a case where they had, this is the area called Hamburger Hill locally. It's above the McDonald's. And they had a number of condo apartment buildings that were up there, and they were on gang cesspools. So they were 15 years past the deadline for gang cesspools. They had to do something. So a sewer improvement district made a lot of sense. So I maybe disagree with Rick a little bit. I think we should do more in terms of connecting some of the high-density neighborhoods, particularly in Kona and Hilo, to the existing infrastructure. And we can free up capacity in the lines by encouraging things like water sense, shower heads, and toilets. In Honolulu, we actually gave a rebate for low-flow water devices. And it was incentivized by avoided new water development costs. The wastewater folks and the Department of Water Supply got together and they ran numbers on their avoided costs. And we gave $100 for a brand new toilet. Well, you can go to Home Depot and buy a low-flow toilet for under $100. So that would have covered the entire cost of that toilet. It's cheaper not to develop new water. It's always cheaper to encourage water conservation. And when you do that, and including the retrofit market, not just new construction, but also doing retrofits, and then that frees up capacity in your sewer lines. You're not having to pump that sewage miles to the local treatment plant. So there's savings that kind of multiply when you start doing that. So providing a few incentives for homeowners is sort of like putting in an LED light. The electricity costs here in Hawaii are so high that the paybacks for that LED light are 2 months. Hawaii Energy now provides a point of sale rebate. So when you go into the hardware store, that rebate's reflected at the cash register as the cost. So they're heavily subsidized through that incentive program. And it's cheaper than building a new power plant. The same is true for wastewater. The less you have water flowing in, the more you can pull it off through gray water recycling, water efficiency, water retrofits. Those are much more economically viable than having to build large systems to deal with them.
And it sounds like we're not inclined to build any more large systems. And it sounds like we're also not inclined to hook up existing subdivisions, whether in Hilo or Kona, to our existing sewer system, because, Rick, you said it's pricey, and that's what Bill Kucharski said.
Yeah, for example, in the Kehoe region, there are some homes that are connected to the small wastewater treatment plant there that's currently operated by Kamehameha Schools.
Where is that treatment plant?
It is on the peninsula, Heia Bay.
It's right next to Kehoe Bay.
Yeah.
In other words, just north of Kehoe Bay, there's a little bay.
And they have got a lot of capacity, and most of that water is being reclaimed on the golf course there. And there used to be two golf courses that competed for the water. Now there's only one. Should that golf course ever become operational again, they're going to need water. But the region, the map of which homes are sewered and which homes are on a cesspool, is really hit and miss. And since most of those homes are just a matter of 50 feet above sea level, we can be assured that the leachate from those cesspits is making it to the bay. I've been working with the Kehoe Canoe Club now for several years, and they're doing some monitoring of their bay. And it clearly is impaired, especially the inner reaches of the bay. Virginia Isbell reminds me often, it's not a bay, it's an inlet.
I kind of forgot, but you're right. Virginia does say that.
It really is an inlet, and that makes for circulation problems in the innermost bay.
Right.
Getting that region off of groundwater discharge and onto some type of treatment is really important. The county has a contract with an engineering firm to study what the options are. Our commission advised the department to really look beyond the obvious. You know, what alternatives are out there? And when I say that, I allude to a multi-million dollar research project that was funded by the Gates Foundation. And they're looking to develop sanitary toilets for the lesser developed countries where 10,000 children die each day from waterborne diseases that would be preventable if they could treat the human waste. And there is a design that has emerged that is fundamentally waterless, that treats human waste with a little bit of cosmetic engineering. Something like that could be very attractive for a house that doesn't have an option of connecting to a wastewater treatment plant. So we really need to rethink the toilet, as the Gates Foundation said, because the way we handle wastewater from a toilet is several hundred years old, and we've got several hundred years of problem as a result of it.
You have, in this last thing you said, pretty much answered my question of where do we go next. You know, when I talked to Bill Kucharski, he indicated that his department had applied for a $600,000 grant from the EPA to do planning. Did that money come through, and is that the money that's being used to fund whatever studies you're referring to?
Yes, the money has come through. The scope of work is going out to the contractor soon, and hopefully my commission has broadened that search for a broader scope.
And so when you say they're doing a study, is it of every way we should be treating wastewater here on the island?
Well, it focuses on the Kehoe region.
Oh,
in particular,
it does.
Yeah. But anything we learn there will be applicable to any community or neighborhood along the coast.
Since we are not using the full capacity of the two wastewater treatment plants we have right now, is there any intent to try to use that capacity, or just because it's, quote, too expensive, unquote, is that the end of adding any homes to that sewer line?
Well, I think we can be assured that the development that occurs as part of the Queen Liliuokalani Trust, that will all be sewered. And at the same time, it should all be purple pipe plumbed such that the high-quality reclaimed water comes back to each and every household. Now, right now, the Department of Health has problems with that. We want gray water to be managed by some entity. We're not comfortable with the homeowner irrigating their lawns and things. Well, Irvine Ranch in Southern California has been doing this for about 30 years. And as far as I know, nobody's died yet.
You know, I hate to hearken back to when I lived through the drought in Marin County in 1978 and 79, but everybody was doing that. We were forced to. We had no water coming in. So you had to really conserve and reuse all the water you possibly could. People were using gray water on everything.
Well, we operate under assumption that our groundwater is always going to be there. And what we know for certain is that our groundwater is inextricably connected to how much water falls from the sky. And the prognostications about our climate through the end of the century are dire.
It's important to think that when you do water recycling, it's drought-proof, Jerry. So the first thing that happens when one of our wells goes down here in Kona is the Department of Water Supply starts putting out notices to reduce your water consumption. Well, the nice thing about water recycling is it's always there as a resource. You don't have to worry about that. And the first thing that people cut back on under these drought emergencies is irrigation. And so you're matching a resource, reclaimed water, to the problem. So as we do deal with more extreme climate events going forward and more drought conditions here in Kona, water recycling is a key strategy for addressing that.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. We're brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community in Kailua Kona, and we're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM, and then we post all of these interviews as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Today is the third and final interview about wastewater, maybe not final forever, but certainly final for now, with Dr. Rick Bennett, who is the chair of the county's Environmental Management Commission, but pretty much speaking on his own behalf based on years of study he's done about water and wastewater, and also Steve Holmes, who used to handle wastewater for City and County of Honolulu. Let's get back to the conversation. When I was lucky enough to do some interviews with Roy Hardy of the State Commission on Water Resource Management, at the time that there was consideration of turning the whole Keauhou Aquifer over to the state for management, he noted that there is about 150 million gallons of water in the Keauhou Aquifer, and there are other places on our island that have very, very large supplies of water. We're talking mostly about Kona because it's a dry area. But is there consideration of doing all of this in other parts of the island? There's cesspools everywhere on the island. There's a need, even in the rainy parts of the island, I think, to do what you're talking about.
Yeah, the people in the Hilo side are going to say, we don't really need a lot of irrigation water. But the wastewater can still be treated at the household level such that when it is discharged and it flows ultimately into the Wailuku River and then into the bay, it's of much higher quality. That part of the bay where the river drains in during the wintertime can be pretty brown, and that's a flashing red sign for me.
Well, it could be just dirt runoff because that water gets to be raging, but I'm afraid that you're right that it's a danger signal that we're not paying attention to.
When I was a 13-year-old surfer in Southern California, the water was so clear at Corona del Mar that as you came down a wave, it looked like the sand was only a couple of feet down when in actuality it was 4 or 5 feet. Today, that water's brown, just dirt brown. That kind of change happens here. The economic consequences to our state economy and to the quality of our life will be forever compromised.
And it's not easy to get it back once it goes, so you're right. So, Rick Bennett, is there anything in this current budget for Hawaii County that addresses the issues that you're bringing up?
Hardly. There's actually very little the county can do relative to the cesspool septic system issue.
Because really?
It's all being administered by the state. Now, with appropriate legislation, we could transfer that authority from the Department of Health to Hawaii County. There's no magic that exists in the Department of Health that couldn't be transferred to the county building department for its successful design.
But the county today could adopt water efficiency standards.
Indeed.
They're way behind in adopting the modern uniform plumbing code standards.
Aren't we using a plumbing code from 2006 and here it is 2018?
Yeah, and I read the article in the West Hawaii Today recently by the bureaucrats, and I can tell you the Honolulu City Council adopted water efficiency standards back in 91, for gosh sakes, that were more progressive than what the state is looking at. So once the Uniform Plumbing Code has been adopted, it's a consensus document, stakeholder groups are involved. It's a safe thing for the Hawaii County Council to adopt. Totally circumvent the bureaucrats at the state. They have legislative authority to do that and could do it. And Rick has recommended a version of the code that includes gray water reuse. And so you could kill two birds with one stone, if you will. So there are things that they could be doing today.
Unfortunately, when we had that presentation in front of the council, a member of the building department told the council that they could do no more than the state allows, which was a mischaracterization.
That's totally wrong. Under our state governing system, the state establishes a floor, but the counties can adopt a new ceiling. So smoking is a good example where the state has a statewide smoking ordinance, but Hawaii County could ban smoking at beaches.
And they did.
And they did. And so that's another. So, you know, I did this for 12 years on the Honolulu City Council. I think I know what my powers were. And I've talked to Karen Eoff and Miley David locally. I spent a couple hours with them and encouraged them to ignore the bureaucrats and step up and be more aggressive. They have the power. They can do it.
Where should we be going from here? We're at the end of our time together, and I'd just like to see what more needs to be done, what can be done. I'm particularly concerned about this cesspool issue because it's pretty clear that every single person who has a residence or business here on the island is going to be affected one way or another by that.
Well, every day we all do this flick of the wrist when we flush the toilet. And what I encourage people to do is, while it's making noise and going down, is to think about where it's going and what the consequences are to our little spaceship island.
So I've put in low-flow toilets in my condo here in Kona, and I put in low-flow shower heads, and I've helped some of the seniors in the building change out their shower heads. It makes a big difference when you start putting in low-flow water devices.
Well, and it's things that we should do just because we want to be good members of the community, residents of the island, whether or not it's mandated.
Sure.
But I'm also concerned about, we don't seem to be aggressively dealing with the wastewater treatment plant and how best to use that recycled water. There's a lot of talk about using it for a non-existent park. There's talk about selling it to Kōanaiki, but I'm not clear there's been a plan to sell it. And yet we have a county department of water supply that has a mechanism built in to sell and charge for water. Is there work going on towards that, Rick?
Not to my satisfaction. Just up here on the highway, there's a median that the state irrigates, and they irrigate my car every time I drive past it because it's so poorly designed. And that, as they were building the road a few years ago, they didn't put in a purple pipe and coordinate the Department of Transportation coordinating with the Department of Environmental Management to make that happen was a missed opportunity. And I think it's symptomatic of the disintegration that exists within the county, and I told the commission this to their face, that disintegration is not the way to address these systems problems. And then we have disintegration between the county and the state.
Within the county, Department of Water Supply is semi-autonomous, just like the Honolulu Board of Water Supply is semi-autonomous. But Maui County has made the Department of Water Supply a line agency, and they did that through a county charter change. And that's something that they could consider here. In Honolulu, we threatened to do it, and we got the Board of Water Supply to adopt more progressive activities at their level, where they started incentivizing retrofits. For instance, we retrofitted the entire UH Manoa campus with low-flow devices. The Honolulu Board of Water Supply paid for all of that unavoided new water costs. We retrofitted all of our county facilities with low-flow water devices. We showed that kind of leadership. That's something else that Hawaii County could do, is step up to the plate. The West Hawaii Civic Center was built to lead standards. It probably does have low-flow devices, but the county could also step up to the plate on that. So some type of dialogue. Bill Kucharski's office is right where the Department of Water Supply is. They need to talk to each other. He needs to convince them that they need to be more progressive and be part of the solution. It's not fair that for the Department of Water Supply to fight off water efficiency standards when Bill ends up having to deal with the resulting problem. They could provide incentives. It's cheaper to do that than it is to drill another well and put in another pump and put in all of the infrastructure for that. So those types of avoided costs have got to become part of their thinking as well. It's not just an issue for each of us as homeowners. We need some institutional change.
You know, I'm told that Hawaii County has some of the cheapest sewer rates in the state. I've been told they could double and we'd still have the cheapest sewer rates. We now have the technology using acoustic technology to actually measure wastewater flow in the sewer pipe. And so we could measure wastewater flows at the home level without having to put a device in the wastewater pipe. When sewage disposal gets more expensive, and perhaps it's being metered, and so you're charged per 1,000 cubic feet of, or 100 cubic feet of water, that there'd be a real incentive to not put a lot of fresh water in the system and, to the extent possible, divert gray water. Today, it'd be great if we had building codes that would allow a home builder to put in two black pipe systems. So you had a black pipe system for your toilets, and then you had a black pipe system for everything else. Maybe put the kitchen with the toilets, but everything else, the washing machine, the sinks, the showers.
It would be like a gray pipe.
It'd be a gray pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if you didn't use it right away, that pipe would be there and available.
I've heard the term injection wells in connection with wastewater. Rick Bennett, what are injection wells and how do they affect this?
The concept of an injection well is intrinsic in federal law. And there's various classes of injection wells. Some materials cannot be injected. Others can be injected only if you're injecting well below the drinking water table. And that doesn't exist here. And so we fundamentally have wastewater and sewage wastewater injection wells. There's rainwater that gets injected. But there's also treated hospital waste that gets injected into the ground, much to people's surprise.
And how many injection wells are there and where are they? And are these little privately owned things or what?
They are privately owned, but they are licensed under the UIC program in the Department of Health.
The UIC is
Underground
what?
Injection Control Program. It's a mandated feature of state government.
And so the focus of that is the Safe Drinking Water Act.
Right.
So they're looking only at contamination that would go towards drinking water wells.
Right.
So they're not looking at coastal pollution at all. So it's a totally different regulatory scheme than an NPDES permit, which is looking at coastal pollution.
Well, just let me ask a question. If you are talking about there being hundreds of injection wells on this island, and we pull water out of the ground to drink, how would they not be impacting our drinking
water? Well, in theory, the drinking water wells are Malka, and the wastewater injection wells are Mackay. And whatever you're injecting Mackay is not going to flow Malka. That's probably true, since the net flow of groundwater at 1 to 3 million gallons per mile of shore per day is Malka Mackay. But what troubles me the most, for 20 years, I have been asking, where are they? How much is being injected and what's in it? And the fundamental answer is we don't know.
Fundamental answer from whom?
Department of Health.
Really? But they gave permits.
In spite of Code of Federal Regulations that says states shall monitor and license. Injection wells are supposed to be inspected annually, and they're not. This morning, I was on the phone in anticipation of today's radio with the UIC program manager. They have yet to develop the digitized database. So I said, you're telling me that you don't have the data of what's going on in Kona? He goes, no, not yet. We're working on it. So I said, that's what you told me a year and a half ago. He goes, we don't have the resources.
But these wells are all over the island, yes?
Yes.
So and they have no records of anything?
We have an idea where some are.
I can send you a map that Department of Health has on their website. It's just a big map of the island with a whole bunch of pink dots on it. That's all they have.
When I asked for the data many years ago, I got sent a DVD with individual files for each well. And a lot of the files were not complete as to volumes, not complete as to what it is they're injecting. There was no evidence that they were ever inspected. And so it's potentially a really large mess in terms of volume may pale the amount of wastewater that's being disposed at Kalakehe.
Well, and you know, you said the concept is that we would get our water from Malka sources, but at least in the Keaho Aquifer, there are 7 Malka wells, but there's 5 Mackay wells that are pretty low down, which tells me that they are possibly in the path of injection wells.
Or injection wells and cesspools.
Cesspools.
That too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The sump that the county has at Kealakehe, it's unregulated, and God only knows how many of those that we have. They fall outside the regulation under the Department of Health regs.
Anything else before we say aloha? Steve Holmes?
I think the key message I would send to members of the council, if they don't think there's a problem, if that message doesn't get to them, then you never reach a solution. The other thing is to think about EPA as an opportunity. They're not just a regulatory agency. In Honolulu, I tapped into a $10,000 grant from EPA, and we brought in water experts from California and Arizona, and we had their finance guys talk to our finance guys. We had their engineers talk to our engineers. I think that's a very valuable tool. Raising the sewer fees is certainly a very reasonable thing to do. If you're dealing with financial problems, if you don't have the money to do this stuff, you're 15 years beyond the federal deadline for gang cesspools in Na'alehu and Pahala, you need to step up to the plate. You need to create agricultural partnerships in some of these areas where ag uses of reclaimed water would make a lot of sense. You've got a lot of macnut trees, for instance, below Pahala and Na'alehu that you could irrigate. So an ag partnership arrangement would be another financing mechanism. Think outside the box a little. Start going after some of these monies. I've seen that in other locations, and it's been very successful in bringing in large amounts of money. The other thought is to use capital funds for hiring consulting engineering firms. All of the federal consent decree stuff that Honolulu does is done through a consulting engineering firm. It's not county workers, and all of that's funded through the capital budget rather than the operating budget, and it's saving hundreds of millions of dollars in Honolulu. The county council could pass enabling legislation to set up an enterprise fund. So there really are some things that the county could be doing today.
You've implied that the members of the county council don't understand the scope of this issue.
You know, there's turnover due to term limits, and so we've had some new folks coming in. Fortunately, Karen Eoff and Miley Davin, Drew Kanuha were very receptive and open to these types of issues. But it's not something that most people, when they run for office, have some expertise in. You just have to keep chipping away on it and start adopting water efficiency standards. There are just a lot of things that you could start doing today that would make all the world a difference.
Rick Bennett.
You've seen the stencils on the storm drains that says drains to the sea. I'd like to suggest that people, at least in their imagination, put that stencil on the bottom of the shower and the bottom of the sink and realize that everything that goes down that drain is going to go to the sea. As I toured the waste treatment plant here a few weeks ago, the extent to which people use that porcelain device as an aqua waste basket was a little shocking. Debris and stuff. Pharmaceuticals, for example. Don't put it down the toilet. Put it in the trash. It's much safer in the landfill than it is in the ocean. I could talk about institutional shifts that need to occur, but I think what needs to happen first is a personal shift in being personally responsible for that drain that drains to the sea.
Thank you so much, Rick Bennett and Steve Holmes, for talking with us about a really complicated subject that folks don't think about, but clearly is very important. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken, your host and producer. I will see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues, brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us at info@labo105.com. Join us again next week for another Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.